This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 a.m., you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Philip. Last week, Datuk Sri Azalina Othman, the minister in the Prime Minister's Department in charge of law and institutional reforms, announced that the government is looking to set up a fully independent children's commission to tackle issues affecting children in Malaysia. The minister said she hopes to table a new law to this effect at the next parliamentary sitting once it has obtained cabinet approval.
Currently, a children's commissioner is appointed under the Malaysia Human Rights Commission. The role is currently held by Dr. Farah Nini Dusuki, a senior lecturer at University of Malaya's Law Faculty, who was appointed for a three-year term beginning March 8th. How will an independent commission further empower the commissioner's role to uphold child protection, welfare and rights in Malaysia?
Joining us to discuss this is Sri Vidya Ganapathy. She's the co-chairperson of the CRIB Foundation. CRIB stands for Child Rights, Innovation and Betterment. Sri Vidya, good morning. Thank you very much for joining us. So why is setting up an independent commission an important piece of strengthening children's rights? What difference is this going to make from the present arrangement of having a Suhakam commissioner dedicated to children issues?
Right. Good morning, Shazana. Good morning. The difference is that we see the current child commissioner is located within the structure of Suhakam, and therefore they just have the same powers as any other commissioner that's working with Suhakam. So they can, you know, they monitor, they can write and ask questions, but really they don't have vast powers that the vast powers that a child commissioner would require. And an independent child commissioner, right, the difference is an independent child commissioner would have the powers to oversee, regulate and supervise all agencies dealing with children, and even put forward reforms. So for example, let's say any other ministry wants to come forward with some kind of reforms when it comes to children, the independent child commissioner would have the powers to actually be able to advise on the those reforms, and even ask questions and make recommendations. And they would have the power to call and ask and inquire into matters that affect children, which the current Suhakam Child Commissioner does not have. Also, an independent child commissioner would have a budget. They would have staff that actually can go out there and ask the right questions. And the word independent is the key word there. It means that this child commissioner would not be answerable to Suhakam or anybody else, but usually would report directly to Parliament. And therefore, they can actually then, you know, this is an important and essential part of it, because let's say you are coming under the Education Ministry or you're coming under the Women's Ministry, right? Then the child commissioner would always be reportable to her minister. Or, you know, making that commissioner independent means that she's not answerable to the minister. She's answerable only to Parliament.
That's very interesting, because what you're doing is you're extending its powers, but you're also creating the independence a bit. Perhaps can you explain how the governance structure of this would be like in terms of, I know it has to report to Parliament, but how are the appointment of the commissioners and such moving forward?
So it would have to be by way of an Act of Parliament, which is why it was announced by Datuk Sri Azalina that the government is looking into coming up with a law. So, you know, when we think about commissions, right, if you think, for example, the MACC, that is an independent commission that is set up in Malaysia. And, you know, they if the MACC was beleaguered by reporting to a direct supervisor, they would obviously not have the kind of powers that they have. So same thing with the child commissioner.
What kind of resources would be needed to make this body effective? You spoke about how the children's commissioner, this independent children's commissioner, would have the purview to look at the issues across all these different ministries, right? So how do you think her role should be supported?
Obviously, she would have to have an adequate budget. You see, prior to that, Dr. Farah Nini, the earlier child commissioner that we had was Professor Noor Azia, and she was working within the Suhakam infrastructure, as Dr. Farah Nini will be, right? And so she was hampered when she would notice something was not in accordance with Malaysia's obligations under the Convention of the Rights of the Child, for example, and she writes to a particular ministry, they have an option not to answer her or not to reply to her queries. Mm. An independent child commissioner would have powers to call and inquire, to investigate, to take evidence, for example. And obviously, all of this, you need proper framework. You need like an act of parliament that not just gives you powers, but also enough, staff and budget to actually carry out those kind of things, right? And the thing is, obviously, this is not a unicorn. You know, we're not the first people to come up with an independent child commissioner. It's something that's been done around the world. So there are child commissioners in Australia, in New Zealand, in Scotland, and obviously, when we are drafting these the laws, I hope that these jurisdictions are considered and we actually, come up with plans that fully incorporate enough powers and enough support so that the child commissioner can carry out her duties comprehensively.
Yeah. Can you just give us some tangible examples where you feel that the efforts have been hampered so far? You said so far that it has been pretty challenging on some areas when you're trying to get different ministries to work together, but you don't get the responses or you don't get adequate answers yet. Give us some tangible examples where the work has been hampered so far and how this commission can help alleviate and remove those blockages then.
I was not carrying out those duties of the child commissioner prior to this. So I don't want to give you examples I might be wrong. You know, I don't have their data. I don't have their what happened. I know from their experience, I know that I've had many conversations where when we go back to the child commissioner and say, what is the child commission doing about this? They say, we've written letters, but nobody's responding to us. You know, but if you ask me for concrete evidence at this point, I'm a lawyer by background. It's something that I'm quite reluctant to do. But, you know, even in India, they've got a child commission. You know, I can give you an example of where we failed, where we definitely needed a child commissioner, but we didn't have one. Okay. So do you guys remember the fire that broke out in the religious school a few years ago, where many children died, right? Mm-hmm. Now, this was a religious school. And at the end of it, when we did the investigation, right, when the reports came out, these are the things that we discovered. So it was a religious school, but it had not been, and therefore it had not been registered under the Education Ministry. Although it was a religious school, it had not been registered with the state religious authority. It had not been registered with the fire department, and it had also not been registered with the police. So when the investigation about the fire broke out, like, for example, we said, why was there not enough fire protection in the school? The fire department could just very quickly say, oh, but you know, this school was not registered with us. And when we asked the education ministry, how is it that this school was running in this kind of a location and housing, accommodating this many kids? And we have, you know, regulations when you have a residential school, these are the number of children that you can have, or these are, you know, we have laws. But then we didn't have anyone just to call people out and say, okay, but what are you going to do to make sure that this doesn't happen again? It's been so many years, right, since that happened.
Yeah.
What have we done to make sure that this incident doesn't get repeated? And, you know, in more developed countries, you see that some kind of an incident like this triggers a whole host of reforms to make sure that, okay, moving forward, we learn from the experience of those children and we then reinforce our systems to make sure this doesn't happen again. Did this happen in Malaysia? I can tell you no. So a child commissioner is one of the best ways moving forward that we can have, that they can look at these kind of tragedies and say, okay, what can we do? And then make recommendations. And then if recommendations are not followed, they can work with the different ministries, you know?
That's a great example there, Sri Vidya, in terms of what the commissioner can do. I think we have about a minute left on the clock. Maybe I'd like to end with just your thoughts on how effective has been the implementation of Malaysia's Child Act. So we do have a comprehensive law that addresses the protection and care of children, but I'm sure that there are gaps in this. So I guess as briefly as you can, what kind of gaps need to be given priority attention by the government at this stage?
I think we need adequate budget to ensure that the Child Act provisions are monitored and actually implemented. Mm. We currently have, at the last count, I was told that we have 80 child protectors throughout the country. So throughout Malaysia, we have only 80 people, really hardworking people, but they are swamped. They are, you know, they are overburdened. They just don't have the resources. I've seen child protectors come to court with babies, and they're holding the babies in their hand. They don't even have bassinets to carry babies to court. So we've got a huge gap between what we've got in resources in terms of the women's ministry and what actually needs to be done to effectively provide social welfare support to children on the ground. And the Child Act has got amazing, legislation provisions, but then we can't enforce it because we just don't have enough money. We don't have enough resources. The resources that we have don't have enough training, and training goes back again to money, because if people don't have money, how can they send you for training?
Sri Vidya, thank you very much for speaking to us. That was Sri Vidya Ganapati, co-chairperson of the CRIB Foundation, talking to us about the importance of having an independent children's commission and really ending the conversation there with some stark statistics. 80 child protectors for over 9 million children in the country.
Abysmal.
That's crazy. Abysmal. To me. But yes, so we hope to see more progress on this front. It is coming up to 8 a.m. And we are heading into the news bulletin. After that, on The Breakfast Grill, Keith Kam will be speaking to Andrew Woon, Managing Director of Faber-Castell Malaysia, Indochina and East Asia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.